Hi, my name's Sue Waters and I'm a lecturer from Challenger TAFE. This is an interview I had with Becky Saunders. Becky Saunders does professional development on instructional design for TAFE lecturers. Becky, I know that you've done a lot of reading and research and you've got opinions about the use of technology within VET. So I'd love you to share them with us.
Thank you. I think that technology is definitely, you know, a useful tool. I think it has lots of uses across the whole sector in ways of delivering and for assessment, and I think we've only just begun to realise, I suppose, that the scope for these things. But I think one of the things that I see done a lot is it's promoted as, you know, the thing to do, and it's new and beautiful, and this is the way to go, and it's great, and it is, and it's exciting, but I think you need to see it as a tool, as a vehicle or a means to helping people access learning or information. It's not always the most appropriate one to use just because it's trendy or it's good. You've got to think about, A, what vehicle am I using? Are my students able to access it? Does it fit the content that I want to get across? Is it affordable? Are they going to use it? How are they going to access it? What sort of information am I going to use? How am I going to integrate this tool and the use of technology into the other models or modes of delivery and assessment that I'm using? I think you need to speak to students as well about their feelings and views towards it, because we make assumptions that because our student cohort is maybe young, that of course automatically they're going to be keyed in and they're going to be using and they can use it. Sometimes that's not always the case. Sometimes they don't even want to use it. So I think it's important to start with finding out what they want to do and their needs. I think it's a great flexible delivery tool. I think there are some areas to think about that we need to be concerned in terms of, in particularly using these tools for assessment in terms of authentication of issues and making sure that if people are sending things in that they're actually the same person. So there's issues in terms of definitely authentication of things and making sure assessment and those sorts of things. In my study and in my area of research, which is really about the pedagogical and the instructional skills and strategies and tactics teachers and lecturers use, I've written some really interesting papers about students' use of technology in learning. And we've actually found that most students, a lot of the papers I've been reading have shown they actually way prefer the actual interaction between students, between teachers and learners and lecturers, rather than just doing, you know, an online course or online study. Some of the research I was reading about an online technology course was shown that even the chat rooms and discussion rooms were hardly ever used. And I've also found that in my experience where I've done online learning and websites and blogging from highly motivated groups of lecturers, that they just don't use them unless I keep going and hammering it and doing it and hammering it. So it's not something that people will really use unless they're highly motivated. So I think you have to be aware of and promote them and keep going on, go back and keep checking and making sure that you use it.
But that's an interesting point, because, like, you know, the guys are doing the Moblogs, isn't it, where they do the telephone. And there's a lot of work for a lecturer to keep that going.
Absolutely. It is very time-consuming. I know my Moblog site, I devoted a lot of time to actually charting things and invited people to come in, put discussions and do things. I spent hours just even learning the technology myself and then using it. It took me a long time to get used to it. And it's, you know, I've got some interesting hits, but I've hardly got any two-way communication back. People just go, yeah, it's very nice, it looks good, bang.
So what were you trying to get out there with your Moblog?
It was meant to be, it had a few purposes. It was meant to be a promotional tool to actually advertise and say, look, this is who we are as a group, this is what we're doing, and I'm going to actually chart our progress through. So it was meant to be open it up to a wider this audience, I guess,
so
a global audience.
What was your group?
It was the Instructional Intelligence group, so they were doing professional development. So it was meant to open it up to a wider audience so they could learn about instructional intelligence, learn about professional development, learn about our program. On a more local level, it was meant to be for the group to go in, to track what we'd done, and they could download it and take bits off it, or they can add to it and post notes and information. So it was information repository, I guess, and also a record of what we'd done, and for people to just interact. And I think I had probably two people that went on there and made comments after I repeatedly sent them the link on emails and did everything. Similarly, I constructed an online survey for the entire group, and I asked them to go on and use the online survey to, and I used it as an evaluation tool. And I had 45 people in the group, and only 15 people went on and did it after I sent them links and emails and repeated. And people were saying, oh, just send me the paperwork. So I think you need to be really, really careful about your audience, about what you're using, how you're using it, why you're using it, and just think about what their needs are as well. And also the time it's going to take you, unless you're really technological savvy and you know, of getting to grips with this technology and then using it to its best. And think about the vehicle, it's any communication. You think about the mode that you're using. Is it going to meet your audience needs? Does it actually a good vehicle for the content or what you want to get through?
And basically you think these principles apply with any sort of technology we're going to use with our students?
Absolutely.
Whether it be PDAs or e-learning or blogs or whatever?
Absolutely. It's the same with any tactic or strategy, even if you're talking about using group work in a classroom. You don't use group work for everything. You use it when you want people to work together and you want to foster communication strategies, interpersonal skills, when you want them to work collaboratively. You wouldn't use group work for everything, same as you wouldn't use, you know, talk and chalk for everything. It's all I see it as is another instructional device or strategy or tactic. It's just a mechanism by which to assist people to learn or use assessment. So it's a tool, and you've got to use, you know, why use a screwdriver, you know, when you want to hammer in a nail, you use a hammer. So it's picking the right thing for the right subject in your audience.
Now let's ask the questions about podcasting, just to finish off. So I've got a podcasting. What about podcasting? Have you heard about podcasting?
I have, yes.
Some of my older, younger students haven't. Have you listened to a podcast?
I have actually, yeah. I listened to one, I think it was on the ABC, some of their radio.
So it was just things. Radio?
Yeah, I haven't listened to an educational one.
Have you got feelings either way about using podcasts with TAFE students?
I think they're great. I think they're a really good way to record things. I mean, there are lots, I think, like I said, with a lot of technology, we're only just beginning to realise the number of different applications we can use. So I think most of it has been recording just speeches or information or lectures. But I think maybe if you could use them, encourage students not just to go up there and listen to stuff that they've missed. If you've got, they can do that. It's a useful record for them to access, another way they can access information. But even they could use podcasting themselves to think about maybe putting together portfolios or interviewing people or as part of some of the work that they're doing or their assessment or whatever. So I think if you can encourage them to be more creative and help them to become a bit more creative, like a two-edged thing, you know, how could I use it for you better and how could you use it?
But, I mean, when you look back at what you do, your other job, your vet nurse, lecturing, would you use them with your students' podcast? Would you get your students to do interviews? Or, like, I'm doing a momentum shift here.
Yeah, I would, but I think if I asked them to do it, I'd have to be really cognizant of the fact of A, do they have access to this technology? B, do they have the skills to use it and the confidence and the time? I would probably offer it to them as an option. So if in a portfolio, when I do portfolios, I'll say, I want this sort of information, you can gather it or present it to me in any number of ways. So I would use it as an option and say, have you thought about this? Instead of going out to interview people, you know, and transcripting it or just, you know, video or whatever, another way of doing it. So it's like, if this tool suits your needs, again, use it. And if you can use it, use it. If not, that's fine. It doesn't have to look like this, smell like this. It's just
another tool.
Yes, another tool.
They could use it for
TAA. Could. Yeah. Yeah, or even in workplaces to, I mean, I could think of, they could use a podcast as like a journal, like a video, like a journal of, if you get them to do reflective journals, you could almost, instead of journaling and writing it down, to actually, I'm off now, it's ideas, that they could journal it. So when they're in the workplace, if they have to sort of think about, you know, I don't know if they do critical incidents, for example, in community services quite a lot, or if you're lecturing, and I get a lot of my lectures to do reflective practice, they could actually maybe, you know, instead of writing it, just podcast and record themselves. Well, today I think that lesson went really badly, or I could have done this better, or an instance just propped up in the workplace, I just want to sort of say a few things about it. So you could use it as a record or a journal of your own ideas. But, you know, we're just beginning to realise where we could use it.
I suppose it's, once again, like PDAs, limited by our imagination, really.
Absolutely.
But, once again, it has to be relevant.
And it has to be. And you could say anything you could write or journal, you know, you could use alternative technology if you want to do it. Or you could say, well, you know, you could moblog a journal, you could podcast journal, you could, you know, you have endless of things to do. You just need to think creatively.
Whether they will.
And just give them the options. Yeah. Some will, some won't. But that's also learning styles as well. You've got to cater for your individual learners and their preferences. Because I've got a lady in my vet nursing class at the moment who I've given them a web journey to do. And she, even though the web journey is scripted and it's click on this and do that and go to here and go to there, because she doesn't like computers, she's not confident, she doesn't use them, she's really struggling with that web journey and panicking now. So I've sort of arranged with her to sit down and go through that with her. So, you know, and I've offered her various options. Instead of printing things off and doing this, just write them down or record them or send away for the brochures rather than doing this. But it's really, I'm beginning to notice her anxiety is rising because this is part of how I do things. So now I'm reflecting back
on what
about,
you do.
Yeah, is a web journey the most appropriate? Because I've suddenly got a couple of learners in there that are really becoming anxious and they're not technologically savvy. So I'm obviously putting them at a disadvantage. Mm. And I'm hindering their learning rather than helping their learning.
But so often we do that, don't we, when we put our own
assumptions about learners and
onto them, or we have our own learning preference, which then places it onto them, which might not. Yeah.
And they don't want to do that. She said, "I'd rather do this and do that." And I've gone, "Well, that's the way she wants to learn, and that's the way she feels comfortable. It's not an assessment requirement of this course that she does a web journey. I've chosen that tool to assist them to learning on the assumption that, you know, they can use computers and most people are happy to do it." You know, that's challenged my assumption, my practice now. I need to take a step back and think, right, well, I need to do something about this. I need to assist her with this. That's my role.
And, I mean, what I've found is with the early on in the days, I used to make the assumption that the younger students were more technologically savvy.
And they're not always.
And they're not always.
No.
And often they're the ones that really don't want this sort of technology.
And in fact, some of the recent the student survey, the one that was done last year by DEST, which looked at all TAFE students, in the bit that looks at delivery modes, there's a question in there about the use of technology and, you know, external learning, and it was shown that even within the young 15 to 19 year old cohort within that survey, it was very, very low, the amount of students that favoured that mode of delivery.
Yeah. Definitely.
Very interesting. So I found that quite a shock, quite a surprise, because I'm fed all this stuff as well, and you read a lot of information around the vet system about PD and this is the way to go and using technology and it's beautiful and great. But a lot of the stats are bearing out in terms of when you go to students and ask them, there's a mismatch there. It's not actually saying that. So I think, again, it's picking the tool for the...
It may be our... The push for this emerging technology is going faster than what they are wanting
Absolutely.
To do.
Yeah.
We're being told that they are when they're not.
And a lot of the research papers I'm reading at the moment is supporting that again. It's, you know, it's backing that up. It's saying it's not as widely used as we're led to believe, and we push it, but sometimes it can hinder or provide barriers to learning rather than supporting, and that's what it's meant to be, is a tool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name's Sue.